Chairs No Waiting, episode number 287, Remembering Andy Griffith. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by right now, if it's still 2014 when you're listening, and check out the Andy Griffith Show 2015 wall calendar. They just got it in over at Weavers, and it'll begin shipping in mid-July. So head over and get yours. It's a 16-month calendar, so don't miss out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of 287 is fans just like you. Thank you to the Mayberry Band for the fine music. And thank you to WeaversDepartmentStore.com for always bringing us some great Mayberry items. I'm your host, Alan Newsom, for Two Chairs No Waiting. It's always great to spend time with you right here in Mayberry. Now, our podcast tonight is going to be Remembering Andy Griffith. Now, Andy passed away on July the 3rd, 2012, and we covered his passing back then for four episodes, from episode number 196 all the way through 199. And so we really haven't had a Remembering Andy Griffith episode since then. But I want to encourage you, if you have not, to head over to twochairsnowaiting.com, and you'll see at the top left-hand corner of the show, the page there, it'll say episode listing. If you click that, it'll pull up a listing of all the different kinds of episodes you can get at imayberry.com/podcast, which is where Burke on Mayberry, Two Chairs No Waiting, and Mayberry Bible Study podcast episodes can be found. So head over there and check it out. And if you go there, like I said, look for episode number 196 through 199 of Two Chairs No Waiting, and you'll be able to hear everything we talked about Andy at the time of his passing. Now, since then, we haven't really said a whole lot about Andy because, you know, so much was said then, and not just by us, and it was just by America in general, people all over the place. Andy was loved by so many, and it was shown by the outpouring of comments by the media, as well as, you know, normal folks like you and me. So I never really felt like there was really a whole lot left for me to say about Andy. Because there was so much said at the time. But I really felt like it would be, I don't know, a disservice to not try to talk a little bit about Andy since we're experiencing the anniversary of his passing in just the last few days. So let's go into that just a little bit. So Andy Griffith was born on June the 1st, 1926. He passed away, as I said, on the 3rd of July, 2012. Now, his name was Andy Samuel Griffith. Now, so often we hear him referred to as being Andrew Samuel. Now, on the Andy Griffith Show itself, he was Andrew Taylor. Yeah, that was his name, was Andrew. But his real name was Andy Samuel Griffith. And, of course, we know he was a television actor and producer. He's also a Grammy Award-winning Southern gospel singer and writer. He was also a Tony Award nominee for two different roles and gained prominence in his starring role for director Ilya Kazan in the film A Face in the Crowd back in 1957. And that was, of course, before he became better known for his television roles playing lead characters in the 1960 through 68 comedy that we all love, The Andy Griffith Show. And then again in 1986 through 1995 in a legal drama that you may have heard about called Matlock. I think we're all pretty familiar with that one as well. Now, Andy was born in Mount Airy, North Carolina. He was the only child of Carl Lee Griffith and his wife, Geneva, and her last name was Nunn, N-U-N-N. By coincidence, Andy was born the same day, you know, June 1st, 1926, the same day as motion picture icon Marilyn Monroe. Didn't know if you knew that. That's something I found out a few years ago, but sometimes people have never heard about that. As a baby, Andy lived with relatives until his parents could afford to buy a home. With neither a crib nor a bed, he slept get this, he slept in a dresser drawer. That's right. He slept in dresser drawers for several months. I got to assume the drawers were open and they put him in there and it kept the baby in the location. That's just my guess. I mean, I just don't know, but it's hard for me to believe that any other way he could have been done that. Anyway, in 1929, when he was three, his father began working as a carpenter and purchased a home in Mount Airy's blue collar south side of Mount Airy. Andy grew up listening to music, and by the time he entered school, he was well aware that he was considered to be from the wrong side of the tracks. That's what this story is telling us. He was shy, but once he found a way to make his peers laugh, he began to come out of his shell and come into his own. As a student in Mount Airy High School, Andy cultivated an interest in the arts, and he participated in the school's drama program. Growing love for music, particularly he liked swing music, would change his life. Andy was raised a Baptist, and he looked up to Ed Mickey, a minister at the Grace Moravian Church, who led a brass band and taught him to sing and play the trombone. He nurtured Andy's talents throughout high school and until graduation in 1944. And Griffith went on and delighted his audiences, his roles as Lost Colony, at Roanoke Island. He attended North Carolina. Everybody knew this, I think. North Carolina in Chapel Hill. He attended it. He graduated with a bachelor's degree in music in 1949. He began in college studying to be a Moravian preacher. But he changed his major to music and became part of the school's Carolina Playmakers. At North Carolina, he was president of the North Carolina chapter, North Carolina UNC, I guess, University of North Carolina chapter of the Phi Mu Alpha Sinfonia. I'm sure I said that completely and wrong because I don't know how you say it, which claims to be America's oldest fraternity for men in music. All right. So anyway, we know about a lot of this stuff, and I know you guys have heard these stories. And like I said, there were so many things done back in the day or back when he passed away. All kinds of political cartoons were drawn, and it's just amazing to me the number that were put together when Andy passed away. There was, it was just an outpouring of America showing respect for Andy when he passed away. So it was a surprise to me when I was able to run across something recently that I had not seen. You guys may have seen this, and maybe it's something I did see back then. I don't have as good a memory as I used to have, but I found this article. It was in the Denver Post, and it's by Joanne Ostrove. I hope I said her name correctly. I wrote to her just recently to ask her if I would be able to use this in the podcast. She said, sure, go ahead. So I thank her very much for this. She is the Denver Post television critic. And this was written back on the 7th of July in 2012. And here's the title of the story. Andy Griffith's Denver-based daughter, Dixie, reflects on life with Dad. So you guys may know that he had two children. One was Dixie, and the other, her name was Dixie Nan, N-A-N-N, Griffith. And the other was Andy Samuel. They called him Sam Griffith Jr. And he has since passed away. Both of these children were adopted children, but not that it matters, but I just thought you might want to know that. So let's hear a little bit about this. Now this is Dixie Nan Griffith. People always ask Dixie Nan Griffith, the daughter of the late beloved actor Andy Griffith, whether her father was like Sheriff Andy Taylor. While the actor was an icon to millions for his role as Mayberry's wise and gentle sheriff, to longtime Denver resident Dixie Nan Griffith, quote, he was just my dad, end quote, she said repeatedly Friday. Andy Griffith died Tuesday at the age of 86 in his home in Manio, North Carolina. To his daughter, the outpouring of grief and inquiries from media outlets internationally was difficult to handle. quote, "Tuesday was very surreal to me. I had the TV on. There was part of me that really didn't like or didn't believe this, even though I knew Dad had been ill for years," Griffith said. "For the millions of his fans and people who loved him, he represented something else. But he was my dad," end quote. Griffith, Dixie, who has always maintained, or this is Andy, who has always maintained his family's privacy, finally turned off the TV and the phone and left town for the day, Dixie did. But the calls kept coming. Quote, "So many people wanted to be a part of him. It goes back to the time when his show was on. It was such a sweet show representing Americana at its best. We longed for that in a way, the easier time, the gentler time." Griffith loved watching his shows, as do her three daughters, raised in Denver. Her favorite of her dad's movie is Waitress. She liked Waitress. She says, "It was the most beautiful movie," she said. "I have a copy, of course, and I'll probably watch it again soon. He was nothing like the crotchety old man he played in the film," she said. She considers the 2008 music video Andy did with country artist Brad Paisley called "Waiting on a Woman" to be one of the most profound roles. "It brought tears to my eyes every time I saw it. They showed it on Entertainment Tonight the other night, and it just brought up those memories," she said. "I obviously have tears now just thinking about it." He won a Grammy for a gospel album at age 70. Not many people can say that. After the news of her father's death, she spoke to Jim Nabors, known by everyone as Gomer Pyle. Quote, she says, "We shared some memories and some laughs, and not many of the cast members are left." George Lindsay, who played Goober on the Andy Griffith Show, died in May of 2012. Don Knotts, unforgettable as Barney Fife, passed away in 2006. Dixie Griffith, the daughter of Andy Griffith and his first wife, Barbara Edwards, does volunteer work in Denver and is, quote, "proud to support the Denver Hospice." She recalled her father as very hands-on dad and a lot of fun. Reading scripts for the Andy Griffith Show while on a blow-up raft in the pool, he'd put down the script and get in the water and put me on his shoulders and throw me. Many of her memories involve antique cars, boats, and motorcycles, weekend barbecues in California, and summers in North Carolina, where her dad lived on Roanoke Sound. "He'd make us wear one of those old-timey caps in the rubber in the rumble seats of his antique cars," she said. When she was 12, her parents divorced, and she went to live with her mother. Her father has since married two more times. Dixie Griffith never wanted a career in show business. She doesn't remember ever being on the set with her father, which ran from 1960 to 68, but she did join the Costumers Union after high school and served as an apprentice on two of his TV movies. She says, "I could have been on the producer's roster, but I chose not to." Same goes for growing up. "I didn't want to grow up in the spotlight. Of course, this was before people hid in the bushes outside your door and there were cameras everywhere. My dad was fiercely protective of us, and I respected his privacy all my life. I have kept a very low profile, and which I still plan on doing." According to Dixie, one of her daughters recalled her grandfather Andy this way. She said, "He was so cute. I loved his adorable southern accent. He was so generous and he spoiled us." She demurred on the subject of when she last saw her father. Dixie said, "It's been a couple of years due to traveling and school. There's a lot involved in that." Her father was sick for years and had numerous issues, she said. He died of a heart attack following years of coronary artery disease and hypertension. And he was a very strong will to live and to enjoy life, she said. And he did enjoy his life. One of his favorite things to say when I'd share news of the girls was, "Well, isn't that grand?" Those words came to me the other day, and that sums it up. He was grand, and it was grand. So there's a story about Andy's daughter, Dixie, which I have rarely found anything about her. So hope you guys enjoyed that. I want to thank Joanne Ostro from the Denver Post, a television critic, for allowing us to share that with you, because I'm always looking for new things here for the podcast that you might not have heard or might not have known about. And for me, this was one of them. You may have heard it, but I hope you enjoyed it. It's kind of neat to hear just a little bit of an insight into Andy, because he was so private that it's always a challenge, I think, for us to find new information about him as we go along. So, folks, I hope you did enjoy that, and you'll be able to join us again here on Two Chairs, No Waiting. Until then, I'd like to hear from you. Give me a call at 888-684-8415 or drop me an email at floyd@imayberry.com. Until next time, folks, head over to twochairsnowaiting.com and check us out and listen to the other stuff about Andy and Don and Goober and everybody else. And just have a great Mayberry week. And we'll see you next week right here in Mayberry. Good night, everybody.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.